Ahankarasya tadatmyam chit chaya deha sakshibhi sahajam karmajam branti janyam cha trividam kramat. I'm just going to spend in each class just doing 1 minute of Sanskrit. for the people who are learning Sanskrit, just follow along with me. Ahankarasya is 6-1 genitive, right? Ahankarasya 6-1 genitive singular. Tadatmyam is neuter, right? Neuter 1-1. So ahankarasya tadatmyam, the identification of the ahankara. Okay? Ahankarasya tadatmyam. Chitchaya. This is going to be a dwandva compound. The chit-chaya, the reflection of consciousness, chit-chaya. Deha, the body, physical body. Sakshi, the witness. So by the sakshi, by the reflection of consciousness, and by the body, and by the witness, the sakshi, there is a tadatmyam, a identification of the ahankara with these. The ahankara has an identification, a tadatmya, with the chitchaya, the deha, and the sakshi, that bihi is 3-3. Okay? And that identification is threefold. So it goes sahajam, so the tadatmya is going to be at the end, see where it says trividam kramat. Trividam means threefold. Kramat means in this order. Trividam kramat. What is the order? Sahajam, 1-1, neuter, karmajam, and brantijanyam, cha. So what that means is there is a threefold identification of the I notion, one with the reflection of consciousness, the chitchaya. The second identification is with the deha, with the physical body. And the third tadatmya identification is with the sakshi, with the witness. So the first chitchaya, the first type of identification, that identification with the sakshi, with the chitchaya, with the reflection of consciousness, is called sahajam. Sahajam means it's natural. I'll unfold what this means, but sahajam means it's natural. The second type of identification is karmajam. It is born of karma. Means it's born of the identification with the body is caused by karma. We'll unfold it. The third, with the sakshi, with the witness, this third form of tadatmya, of identification of the ahankara with the witness, is brantijanyam, born of branti, born of delusion, which has its roots in self-ignorance. So this is the verse. So let's just look at this verse, and then the next verse also elaborates on this verse, okay? So chitchaya, what we mean by chitchaya is that reflection of consciousness, which we went into on the last class. The reflection of consciousness is brought about by the sattva of sattva, rajas, and tamas. If something is sattva, it will reflect consciousness. It's just like saying, if I hold up a mirror to the sun, because of the material of the mirror, right, it can't but reflect the sun. It doesn't have a choice. It's not going to say, well, in this instance, I'm not going to reflect the sun. By the very nature of the material of the mirror, if the sun is shining, and if there's a direct route between the sun, you know, and the mirror, it will reflect the mirror. And it will reflect the sun. It doesn't have a choice. Right? It can't say, no, not in this instance. It's the same with the sattva, which is responsible, which is the material cause, sattva being part of maya, sattva, rajas, and tamas. It is the material cause of the sense organs and the antakarana, right? The antakarana means the mind. So the mind is sattva. Because the mind is sattva, like the mirror, it by its very nature reflects consciousness. So as long as the mind is there, the reflection of consciousness will be there. Right? Now, in terms of the physical body itself has to be pervaded by sattva in order for it to reflect consciousness, in order for the ahankara, the I notion, to identify with it. So it's only going to be a living physical body that is penetrated, or that is in which the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, has entered. If it's a living physical body, that means that the subtle body is indwelling the physical body. And remember that the subtle body really contains both sattva and rajas, right? Sattva and rajas are not subject to birth and death. The elements, the tamas elements that have gone through a process of becoming fivefold of grossification, those elements are subject to birth and death. So this physical body is subject to birth and death. Sukshma sharira, the subtle body, is not. The subtle body, when it indwells this particular physical body, is going to penetrate the entire physical body with consciousness because of the sense organs, especially the sense of touch, which pervades the entire body. So the entire body is going to experience itself as a conscious being, right? And then, of course, with the mind, the different types of vrittis and the five sense organs, all of those pervading the body, that means sattva is pervading the body. That means that body is going to be lit up by consciousness, because it's lit up or enlivened by the subtle body throughout the whole physical body. When that's the case, as long as this physical body is here, right, there will be an ahankara identification with it, because the ahankara, remember, 50% correct, is rooted in, rests in the conscious being, which is myself. So if this body, when this body is here and living, and it's therefore as consciousness manifest in it, the ahankara, the I notion, which itself is born of ignorance, will attach itself to this physical body, because this physical body is experiencing itself as a conscious being. So that identification, what we call that tadatmya, between the ahankara and the physical body, will be here as long as the physical body is here. Why is the physical body here? The physical body is here because of karma, all of the previous karmas that have now manifest into this physical body has caused it to come into manifestation for you. It's your, becomes your instrument, your, what do they call it, adhara. It becomes the counter of experience for the sukshma sharira, for the subtle body, to exhaust its karmas. As long as I have this physical body, the subtle body is able to experience this world through the physical sense organs, physical body, which is made of the same material as this physical world, right? So this physical world is made of the grossified elements. And those grossified elements, when produce food, the earth produces, the earth with the water and the sun, and the minerals produce food, and the food is what produces this physical body. Once this body takes birth, then it grows through food. What I'm saying is that this physical body is of the same order of reality as this world. It is actually made of the five elements, which we call the elementals, of this world, so it exists on the same plane of existence as the rest of the world. Now, if I were to feed this body with physical food, this body will grow and be as healthy as the food is that I eat. And will be the size of the amount of food that I eat. So it has a direct relationship with food. If I'm thinking of the dream world, the food of this world is not going to be feeding the dream character, and the food of the dream character is not going to be feeding this body. Different order of reality. So when we say that this physical body is the counter of experience for this world, it is because this physical body and this world are made of the same material and exist within the same order of reality. This body is pervaded by the subtle body, which has taken this body and attracted this body at this particular time and place because of its karmas. Its karmas we talked briefly about this, but at the time of death, of your previous life, that person that you are, really in terms of Dharma, in terms of Punya and Papa, that person that you are will attract the appropriate karmas to the essence of the prakriti. Prakriti means of the nature of this jiva, the nature of the jiva, the transmigrating entity. So at that time of death, what is your value system? What is the balance of dharma adharma for you? That will attract the punya and papa, which will cause you to take this next birth, and that next birth will be comprised of karmas, your prior karmas that have not yet fructified, that will take you all the way through to your death. Okay, so this body and the experiences that you have throughout your life are born of karma, and when the karma is exhausted, this body will die. Okay, and so that's kind of important to realize, because people think, well, when I get knowledge, what's going to happen to all of my karmas and all that? Well, some people are afraid. We'll see later why. If I get knowledge, will I just pop off right then and there? when I realize that really I have no doership, that I never do anything, I never experience anything from my own standpoint. So now I recognize myself. Now all of a sudden the whole world disappears, the body disappears, I'm gone. I don't think I want this knowledge after all. Let's get it later. Chanji will say, you know, joke about this and say, you know, if you think that because you recognize yourself, that when you recognize the essential nature of your being as actually being free, absolutely free of doership and free of enjoyership, and just really the very essential nature of the whole creation, then if you think, well, if I recognize that, what's going to happen to me, this body, mind, sense organs? Is it going to then just disappear? Like, if this is just a little aside for you, okay? Like, if I've mistaken a snake for a rope for a snake, right? I've mistaken a rope for a snake, then when I gain knowledge of the rope, the snake disappears because the snake had no real reality. The reality was really the rope, right? So once you see the rope, there is no snake. You can't even get the snake back. You squint and sometimes. You can't get it back. You can't get it back because you've removed the ignorance that caused that projection, right? Now you think, and when I gain knowledge and realize really I am just the non-dual Atma, the non-dual self, is this projection going to just go away? You know? Say, no, it's not going to go away, because this body, it's not going to go away right now, let's put it that way. It's not going to go away now because this body is a physical manifestation of your karmas, right? Which is now taking place in the Ishwara's upadhi. This is Ishwara, right? That's why this physical body is not part of subjective reality. A snake is subjective reality. No one else's problem, probably, no one else is experiencing that snake but you, right? And then your friends will say, listen, there's really no snake there. There's really a rope. No, I saw the snake. No, you come here with me and I'll show you. Look at there. Is that a snake? No. No. Okay. It's a road. Okay. Subjective. The subjective reality. Self-ignorance also is subjective reality. It's a subjective reality. And that subjective reality will definitely bring about changes in my mind, right? In my imaginal thinking, in my erroneous thinking. There will be fantastic, wonderful changes that take place there in the in what is subjective, the ignorance that is causing subjective reactions. Like, for instance, for the snake, for the person who saw the snake and felt as he scraped, little boy scraped the rope as he was walking along and felt that he had been bitten by that snake, is then feeling so much fear and terror, actually, that he's going to die now. It's probably a rattlesnake and I probably only have a few minutes to live. Is going to anybody save me? You know, and going through all that emotional turmoil that was brought about by this projection that when it is happening is real. To you it is real. And so that means that all of the emotions you feel and the responses you're feeling are toward a real snake, not a projected snake. But when that person sees the rope and sees that that snake is not real, then all of the emotional angst, all of the problems that were brought about by the rope go away. They go away because there's brought about by the snake, they go away because the snake has gone away. Right? And so similarly, when we get self-knowledge, there are so many pains and projections and problems and worries that are brought about by that self-ignorance. And so when I gain self-knowledge, those problems drop off. Some of them drop off slowly, because as Swamiji will sometimes say, and elaborate some of these examples, like rope snake example. What if, when you see the snake, you're so frightened that you run away and you fall down and you scrape your knees and you bang your head on a rock? Now you've got scraped knees and a banged, hurt head. And now your friend takes you back to see the rope. But you still have to recover from the scraped knees and the banged head, right? Because that happened within this empirical reality, not subjective reality. And so we find that when we gain knowledge, a lot of stuff just drops off when I recognize my own self. But then there's what we call samskaras, reactions, vasanas, habitual ways of behaving that don't drop off that quickly. In spite of our seeing them as totally ignorant, that have no truth in reality, still my mind habitually behaves in that way and I have to bring it back to my knowledge, right? Because it's rising up again from ignorance into now me, the one, the buddhi that has knowledge, and then they slowly, all of these things drop off. But my body's not going to drop off because this body is not is not my imagination. The snake is my imagination, it's subjective. This body is not subjective. Otherwise, just think of what it would be like if it was. You would be able to fly. Like people love to have flying dreams where you can actually fly. You would just be able to do that. You would be able to change your body into whatever form you wanted it to be. If the body was sick, you could just say, get well now. Everything would be fine. See? Subjective. It is not subjective. This is Ishwara's reality. Now, this taking birth into this physical plane, into this waking state, it's not subject to your magic. The mind is magical. Your imagination is magical. Right? A waking dream, even say you have a lucid dream, very magical. Because you can enter into that dream and manipulate it and change it, and you can be a shift. What do you call it, a shapeshifter? All kinds of things you can do on that level. But this is physical reality. This is Ishwara's reality. And so this body has been born because of your karma, and that karma will take you all the way through to your death. And at that time, when this body drops, depending on The clarity of your knowledge will depend upon whether or not the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, goes on traveling. It very well may not for a person who really has knowledge, because I'm already abiding as my own being. We'll see that later. Okay, but so this, what they're saying here, is that this identification, born of karma, will just naturally remain as long as the body is alive, because the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, is penetrating this physical body. And so it's not going to stop enjoying consciousness. So say you gain knowledge and you recognize that your being is totally free, really, subject-object relation, totally free of this physical body, and yet this physical body, because of the sukshma sharira, continues to reflect consciousness. And your sense, so therefore your sense of ownership in a what we call an apparent level, your sense of ownership, that experience of this being my body, is still there. You know, it is the same, the sahaja, what is natural for the mind, because the mind is sattva, it reflects consciousness. As long as the mind exists, as long as the sukshma sharira exists, it will continue to reflect consciousness because of the sattva. And so therefore that sense of me-ness will be there in the mind, definitely, you know. And so as the mind transmigrates, the sense of me belonging to the sukshma sharira will continue to be. It won't continue with the body, because when the karmas of the body drop off or the prarabdha is finished, this body is dead. A dead body doesn't reflect consciousness. So there will be no sense of identification with it. That would be weird, wouldn't it? Your body is dead. It's a dead body. And it's the same.
I am dead. I am dead.
It's not going to happen. It's dead. Okay. There's nobody there. In fact, I don't know if you've experienced the death of your family members, your parents, or of a friend or anything. When the sukshma sharira leaves, there's a carcass there. It's not, the being is no longer there. It's gone. It's like you've shed your dress. You know, it no longer has any life in it at all. But it will have life as long as the sukshma sharira is there, as long as the subtle body is there. When the karmas are done, the karmas are finished, then the sukshma sharira leaves, that body is dead. It no longer enjoys that reflection of consciousness. There's no longer, therefore, an ahankara associated with it. So we have to remember one thing here, is that the word ahankara, it means a notional I. The creating an I, a me, in reference to that, whatever is reflecting consciousness. And so that created I, for a jnani, becomes what we call mitya. It's still going to be there as long as the sukshma sharira is there, and as long as it's enlivening the body that has been born with karma, that sense of I will still be there for a jnani, or for an jnani means one who has self-knowledge. A jnani is one who doesn't have self-knowledge. That sense of I will be there regardless, because that reflection of me is there, right, in the sattva, in the mind, in the sense organs, and the sense of touch pervading this body. But for a jnani, that is mitya. In other words, the ahankara itself is objectified. That reflected consciousness, as though reflected consciousness means the knownness of the mind and the knownness of the sense organs, that also is objectified. So there's no real identification there. And at the same time, being very aware of myself, which is actually never doing anything and which is self-evident, I'm still the one walking and talking. And I'm still the one experiencing the vrittis and the emotions and the thought modifications in my mind, right? My mind. This is my mind. These are my thoughts. This is my body. I am the one who is walking. That's all ahankara. That's all mitya, because the self, the atma, isn't walking at all. But for a jnani, what your experience is the sense of me identified with the body and the mind and sense organs, which is walking and thinking and talking, and at the same time, the me that is not doing anything. There's a beautiful verse in the Bhagavad Gita that says, seeing, I don't see. Blinking, I don't blink. Walking, I don't walk. singing, I don't sing. Running, I don't run. Okay? So both are there. The total non-dual freedom of being, non-objectifiable freedom of being of me, so never changing in any way. And that chit-chaya, that as though reflection of consciousness because of the sattva, in which there's going to be either what I take to be the real me because of self-ignorance, or a mithya me, an apparent me, right? Because I recognize the chit-chaya, that reflection of consciousness in whatever is sattva. Understand? So there's those two. And then there's the third one. So it says chit-chaya, it's reflection of consciousness, which would be the sattva. And then the deha, the physical body. And the third one, sakshi-bihi. Sakshi-bihi means by the witness, their identification with the sakshi. I am the sakshi. So it says, that sakshi, that identification with the sakshi is born of bhranti, is born of delusion. Means it's a result of self-ignorance, where I take the witness itself to belong to, when I take the consciousness itself to belong to the sattva. Like, for instance, just to give you an example of what they mean by that in sakshi, say if we are doing the strict Risha Viveka, and you recognize, you know, my mind is known. I have a subject-object relationship with the mind. Then I'm realizing this mind is objectified, right? But, and then I can say, the Atma, the self, the subject, is being differentiated from the mind, the object. And so therefore, this is for knowledge, and so therefore, you know, the conscious being that I am may be the luminary because of which the mind is known, but is not the mind. That's that viveka. But say I don't have that viveka, then the experience is this. My mind has two components. It has what we call the ahankara, the thought type of thought that identifies itself with the conscious being in the mind, which is going to be the knower or the enjoyer. And the second part is either the chitta, the memory, so the content of the mind will be the memories, right? Be the memories, or it could be the fluctuating mind, the manas, or the emotions, or it could be the buddhi, it could be that clarity. So whatever the or it can be your perceptions, whatever is forming the vrittis, whatever is the content of the vrittis. So those are the things that are experienced by me. So I am going to, the ahankara will identify with the consciousness aspect of the vritti, of the thought modification. And then the objects of knowledge in the thought modification will become what is known. So I would have this kind of a statement. If I'm looking at the clock, I'm having a vritti, a thought modification of the clock. The clock is known to me, right? So I, this is ahankara, I become the knower of the clock because I'm not going to say I am the clock. So the ahankara, the I notion, isn't going to identify with a clock in the vritti. It's going to identify with the consciousness reflected in the vritti. So it'll say, I am the knower, and the clock is the known. You can even say, in reference to an emotion, say an emotion where there's actually an identification with the emotion, I still will say, the ahankara will say, I am sad. And so now I'm identifying with just my being, which is being overwhelmed by the state that I'm identified with. I am sad. Now, even in samsara, what if I asked you, how do you know you're sad? What do you mean? I am sad, and I'm very aware that I am sad. Right? So even in a question like that, you're not going to think that I'm the sakshi, the witness, who is different than the sadness. You just recognize that I'm sad and I know I'm sad. Right? So the ahankara is going to be identifying with consciousness in terms of being. I am the sadness, and yes, I am aware of the sadness. But it still stays within the realm of the mind. So the mind is a knower and an experiencer. We say it's a knower and an enjoyer. So what if I say, I am sad, I'm now enjoying sadness. I am that, I've become that emotion. I am agitated, I've become that emotion. Right? That's what's overwhelming my being. If I say, I know that I am sad, I'm recognizing that I'm aware of the different mental states that I have, but I don't take that to be something that is free of the mind. Right? And so that's the state of ignorance, which is delusional. It's delusional because there's no way that I can have that an experience that can come and go, and that the me can belong to that experience unless it goes also. Right? If the me belongs to the experience, then when the experience goes, I will go. And also if the me belongs to the experience, then that me will come along with the experience and go with the experience. Which is not true. What is true is that all experiences, all vrittis, come and go in me, the one that illumines them. But until I have knowledge, there's a tadatmya. There's an identification with the entire vritti. And the entire vritti includes nama-rupa, name and form, and consciousness. Right? And so the ahankara is identifying with the consciousness aspect of the vritti, this chit-chaya, and then the other type of vritti, the other aspects of the vritti become those which are known or which is enjoyed. So then we get this delusional, actually illusional, knower-known relationship. Right? Whereas in reality, the whole thing is known. Right? The knowership is known and the known is known. Right? You know what you know? You know the one who says, I know the vritti. That's the ahankara. I know the clock. That is known. If I say, I know the clock, do you know that you said that or not? You say, I know the clock. Yes, I said, I know the clock. Okay. That's known. The ahankara is known. And the object that is known, that is also known. So the dyad of knower known, enjoyer enjoyed, both are known. Right? So both exist in the one conscious being that is illumining the whole vritti. So the subject of the vritti and the object of the vritti both are known. Right? So like within the dream character, the subject, the dream character, and the objects that are experienced by the dream character, both of them are known. It's not just the objects are known and the subject is not known. The knower is known and the known is known. Right? So both of them equally exist in my awareness. But from the standpoint of self-ignorance, I am only identified with the conscious aspect, right, the sattva, really, of the jiva that is there in the dream, that is experiencing the dream through the sense organs in the mind. That is me, and everything else is not me. Right? So I come into relationship with everything else. But in reality, both the knower and the known are illumined by me. I am the self of both. So, anyway. We'll get more and more into that, so don't worry about it. So when it says, so for the tadatmya of the identification of the ahankara with the chit-chaya, the deha, the body, and the sakshi, the witness, they are threefold, trividam, kramat, in this order respectively, kramat. Sahajam, for chit-chaya, is natural. As long as the sattva is there, there will be that reflection of consciousness. For the deha, it's only as long as the deha is there. The deha, the body, is born of karma. When that karma comes to an end, that body is no longer going to reflect consciousness. Whereas sattva, wherever the sattva is, it will reflect consciousness because it comes to an end. Then, as long as it exists. Then, Bhranti Janyam is for the sakshi, where I am actually identifying, you know, myself, the ahankara, which is a vritti, is identifying itself with the sakshi, rather than realizing that even itself is an object of knowledge. So let's do the next verse, which is just more unfoldment of this.
Sambandhino sator nasti.
Nivritti.
Om sambandhino sator nasti. Nivritti sahajasya tu.
Karma kshaya prabodhacha.
Karma kshaya prabodhacha.
Nivartete kramadubhe.
Nivartete kramadubhe.
Sambandhinaha, sambandhinoho, satoho, na asti. Nivrittihi sahajasya tu karma kshayat prabodhat cha nivartete kramat ube. So for the Sanskrit, sambandhinoho is 6-2, satoho 6-2. That's genitive dual, asti. So, sambandhinoho, for these two things which are connected, right? So it's going to be going back to this verse. It's the two things that are enjoying a tadatmya, a connection. Sambandha means a connection. There's a connection between the ahankara and the chitchaya. Okay, so let's just take that one for now. So for this, for the connection of the ahankara and the chitchaya, the ahankara and the deha, so the ahankara means, just to translate, for the ahankara and the eye notion, the ahankara, and the chitchaya, the reflection of consciousness, there's a connection. Then there's a connection between the ahankara, the eye notion, and the deha, the body. There's a sambandha there. Then there's a sambandha, a connection, between the ahankara and the sakshi, and the witness. So these, the sambandha between these two, the ahankara, so sambandha noho, that's why dual. That sambandha, that connection between the ahankara and the chitchaya, the deha, and the sakshi, so the ahankara between these two, satoho, when taken to be real, so when that connection, which is taken to be real, for that that's taken to be real, na asti nivrittihi sahajasya. Na asti, there is no nivritti. There is no nivritti, nivrittihi. I think that should have an R in it. I think it should be nivritti. Anyway. There is no nivritti sahajasya for that which is natural. There's no way of eliminating, of getting rid of that connection between the chitchaya, right? Between the chitchaya, the reflection of consciousness, and the ahankara, because that connection is natural. As long as you take that to be real, and there's no way to get rid of it. It's like asking, somebody used once a drishtanta, an illustration of, say you have a water bucket, and the sun is shining on the water bucket, there will be the reflection of water in the water bucket, in the water, as long as that water is there. Now, if I dump the water out, there won't be that reflection. But as long as the water is there, that reflection will take place because it's natural. There's nothing that can be done. Sattva, by its nature, reflects consciousness. So that's the idea. It's just kind of repeating what we've already done. So what this says is, when the connection is natural, sahaja, if you remember this sahaja, is the connection between the antikara, the ahankara, the eye notion, and the reflection of consciousness. Because the reflection of consciousness requires sattva. As long as that sattva is there, the atman will be reflected in it, and therefore the ahankara will naturally identify with it. Because the self, the ahankara, 50% correct, it's always identified with the atman. But the atman is reflected there in the mind, you know, or in the sattva, then the ahankara will naturally say, you know, I am that mind, because that mind is enjoying me. I am existing in that mind, right? So I am that. There's a tadatmya, I'll identify myself with that just naturally because of the sattva. So there's no way to get rid of that, right? The only thing is, the only way of getting rid of it is when you understand it's not real, it's mithya. But even if you understand that it's mithya, that it's apparent, It still won't take it away. So say you have gained knowledge. You gain knowledge and you know that the antakarana, the mind, is sattva. It's made of sattva, and so it naturally reflects consciousness. So you understand that, and you also can differentiate your own being, conscious being, from that reflection. Right? That's all there. But you can't get rid of the reflection because of the sattva. Just like I can't get rid of the reflection of water without dumping the water, because that is natural. It's natural to the water to reflect the sun, or the mirror to reflect the sun. It's natural for the sattva to reflect consciousness. And so with or without knowledge, that's going to take place, because that's Ishwara Srishti, that's Bhagavan's creation. Sattva reflects consciousness, that's what it is. Sattva is what allows for the expression of knowledge also. That's what the sattva does by its own nature. So just because I gain knowledge is not going to change the nature of something that exists within Ishwara Srishti. Ishwara Srishti means Bhagavan's, Ishwara's creation, empirical reality. And so that identification between the ahankara and whatever is being reflected, the chit-chaya, is going to remain, but it is now mitya. Mitya means that I recognize it has no reality in and of itself. Right? It is an apparent reality. So there is no getting rid of that. As long as you take it to be real, the only thing that gets rid of it, as though it gets rid of it, it's still remaining, it gets reduced to mitya, to having no inherent reality. You know, it's like if I'm walking along with my shadow, Swamiji sometimes uses this example, I'm walking along with my shadow, and I know that it's my shadow, okay? But that doesn't get rid of it. Mm-hmm. I know this is my shadow. This is not me, so please, go. No? And say, what? I can't go anywhere. What can I do? Yeah. What can I do? Nothing. Yeah. Don't blame me. You know I'm not real. Okay. That should be good enough. You know I'm not real. You know I'm just a shadow. You know? Do I have to go? If you know I'm not real, do I really have to go? You think I can go? No, I cannot go. Okay. The same with the mind. The sattva, it will reflect consciousness. That's what it does. It cannot go. Do you need it to go? No, you don't need it to go, because you know what it is. It's mitya, that ahankara existing there naturally. You know, and it's a good thing it doesn't go. What if it does go? You gain knowledge in it, and that ahankara goes. Then you think, whose is that? Whose thought is that? You know, get away. Go. No identification with it. You have to have that, you know, it has to be, this is my thought, you know. This is my body. See, there's no ahankara, mitya, ahankara with the body. It's like, what is this? No, so that's not going to happen. So, but for the sattva, for what is sattva, there's no getting rid of that experience as long as the sattva is there. So as long as the sukshma sharira is there, exists that experience of that ahankara, that identification, definitely will be there. The only thing that will change is that the reality of it is no longer there. The experience is there, but not the reality of it. Because of the viveka, even between myself and the mind, my conscious being, my own being is self-evident. I recognize myself in reference to this mind. But the I-ness of the mind, the me-ness of the mind, will not go because of the sattva. So then he says, so, sambandinoho satoho, for this sambanda, this relationship between the ahankara and the chitchaya, which is sahaja, for that natural relationship, there's no going for that, right? The only thing that goes is that taking it for real, that will change into nitya. Then for the next one it says, if that, for that sambanda which is that relationship, which is karma kshayat, that will go. Nivartate, it says, karma kshayat bodhacha nivartate kramat ube. The other two, the other sambandhas, the one born of the deha the connection of the ahankara with the physical body, that one, and the, so ube means both. So both of them, krama, in this sequence, both of them, nivartete, they will go. One will go, the connection with the physical body will go, karma kshaya, from the elimination, from the exhaustion of the karma that caused you to take this body. Right? When that karma drops, is completes itself, the prarabdha karma that caused you to take this body, when that completes itself, then that identification will go because the body no longer is associated with the sukshma sharira, the subtle body. So that will be the end of that association. And then what about with the sakshi, the ahankara, the I notion with the witness? When will that connection go? When will that tadatmya go? It says, prabodhat. That tadatmya, that identification, will disappear, will go away with knowledge. With knowledge. With knowledge, that association completely goes away. Just like when the body dies, of course it goes away because the sukshma sharira is not there. Nobody identifies with a dead body. So that's easy. When you have sattva, as long as the sukshma subtle body is there, that experience will be there. But when you gain self-knowledge, then that one who is the witness, the innermost self that is through drikdrisha viveka differentiated from the body, the mind, the sense organs, and recognized just from its own standpoint, at that time, because of self-knowledge, that tadatmya, that identification with the body, mind, sense organs, with the ahankara goes completely. Because yourself, your being, this me that you are, never has had any identification with the body, mind, sense organs at all. Yet always, I always am the luminary. I am the one because of whom all of these things are known. Right? I myself have that subject-object relationship, that complete differentiation becomes very clear with knowledge. So even at this very moment, my being, the me, this self-evident me, what makes me, is not doing anything. My mind may be thinking, right, and I can be feeling my body, I can be experiencing my perceptions, that all belongs to the buddhi, to the manas, to the buddhi, to the sense organs. But me, my own being, is not involved in any of that. It's just the very simple luminary. And you can differentiate right now at this moment just the simple presence of my being, and I'm not doing anything. I'm not seeing anything, I'm not hearing anything, I'm not being anything other than just myself. And you don't feel, ooh, I'm blind. No. Because my own being is whole and complete. In fact, even in contemplation or in just moments you may be walking along in nature, suddenly you just become, your mind gains that shantavritti, you just become overwhelmed with that beauty and you just want to just be with yourself, just your own being. And you don't think, I'm incomplete. You don't think that. You think, I just want to be with myself, that's all. And that's my non-dual self, I just want to be. Meditation sometimes when we go quieting everything down, you know. I just want to be myself. And that beautiful self that's so whole and complete, I am always there, never doing anything, nor can anything ever be done to me. So I would put a little emphasis on this, you know, in the meditations where I recognize, say when you're recognizing this beautiful sounds of the surf and beautiful sounds of the wind, and then even become aware of your body, you're aware of your thoughts, you can notice also the silence of your own presence, the changelessness of your own presence, of your own me, that is there, doing absolutely nothing, not changed in any way by all of these sounds and experiences. You know, and when the sounds and experiences, like just the surf and the wind, is so mesmerizing, you know, it's almost like a lullaby, and it just relaxes you so much as you just let yourself Listen, that mind becomes more and more relaxed, and then you can just gently focus on your own being, and then just be yourself. And you see that even the surf, the sounds, the experiences of the body, the breath, and whatever you're feeling or thinking about, all of those things are taking place in me, who is absolutely free and never doing anything at all or changing in any way. That's the true nature of the Sakshi. The Sakshi is only called a witness from the standpoint of the mind that is being illumined, or the vritti, the thought modification that is being illumined. We call the consciousness, which is simply the luminary, the one that allows it to, whose nature gives the knownness to the vritti, right? Every thought modification you have, every experience you have, it is known, it is known, it is known, it is known. That is knownness is the sunlight of the, is the light of consciousness. What allows the vritti to be known is the knownness, the very, the rays, as though self-consciousness is not rays, but the nature of consciousness in the presence of the vritti, in the presence of the nature of consciousness, the vritti enjoys the knownness, the self-evident nature of conscious being itself. And so this conscious being that I am is whole and complete and is the very knownness, existence, beingness that every vritti, every thought modification enjoys. So now once I recognize and can discriminate, all these vrittis are changing, the experiences, the moods, emotions, everything is changing except for me, the one that is the luminary, the one because of whom all these are known. And so at any given moment, at all moments, there is a viveka, as you get to understand this, to know it, there is a very natural discrimination between just the wholeness, the silence, the stillness, the safety of my own prayer. Safety, I mean, because it's not an object subject to time, you know. So the safety, kind of the beautiful safety and wholeness of my own presence is always me, it's always the me, and then all of this activity is taking place, right? And the mind is thinking and feeling, the mind that has sattva is always enjoying consciousness, and so that consciousness allows the mind to be a knower and a feeler and a perceiver and all of these here and all of these things, because of the presence of conscious being. But all of those activities belong to the mind. All the activities of my body belong to my body. All the emotions, everything, belong to the mind. So I'm always free of all of that, and yet all of these things totally depend upon me for their being and for their consciousness, but I don't depend upon them. So at any given moment, my being is always completely whole and free, and then there's all this other stuff going on. Once I really, and the more I see this and recognize it, I can always bring all this other stuff that's going on in my mind, I can always bring it home to just be with me, to take a bath, to take a bath in the beauty of my own being, to relax, to bring knowledge back so that my mind isn't lost out here in samsara, trying to complete itself just habitually, to say, no, 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 come home, you're going in the wrong direction, it's not going to work, just come home. Be well, all is fine. So we have to do, you know, just habitually do until we don't need to do that anymore.
Hare Om Shri Guru Pyo.